Hooray! Whittler, whittler, wow! Welcome back from an exploded toilet.
Jesus fuck.
Through
the canisters in my ceiling in my kitchen.
Whoa. That's why we did not record last week, because there was a house emergency.
Sorry, kids. By the way, two of the most alarming things I've ever watched. Like I said, water literally pouring out of the light canisters in my kitchen, which, because my bathroom is directly above it. And then the fun experience after I get everything cleaned up upstairs, I start to finish cleaning up downstairs, and I go, because I see a little bit of condensation around the edge of the rim of the actual canisters, and I tilt them down, not thinking, and I tilt them to look, and toilet water pours from the ring around the canister on my face and self. I had already cleaned myself up and changed clothes. I managed to get toilet water on not one, but two shirts. And neither one of them voluntarily.
That's when you buy the full body autoclave and just sanitize yourself.
So much bourbon, Jamie.
That's so much bourbon. That's when you use that blowtorch you have and just burn off that first layer of skin.
I really honestly debated it. Like, I have debated literally. Like, I don't even remember if it was raining out or not, but I swear I had half a thought where I was like, you know what, I can just call out of work and just start the fire pit in the backyard and just drink through the night. Like, if anything, it'll keep the neighbors from bothering me at all, because if they look outside and I'm just quietly sitting out there staring at the fire by myself at 3 a.m. sipping on a flask, I'll never get asked to help them with anything ever.
That would be great. Well, we record this Tuesday night. Brandon works a real job, so we're not doing our election midterm special where we stay up all night and drink and watch the returns come in.
I mean, I probably will end up doing that after this, but I only have like half-ish of a bottle of tequila, so we'll see how long that actually goes.
Yeah.
I will say, kids, I really hope you did go out and vote. If you did, thank you.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't care who you voted for. That is your own personal business. I just want you to be part of the fucking process.
Yeah, you have to participate. Like, if you don't participate, you don't have the right to bitch. You voted and you had your and you did everything you could to make your voice be heard, then you can complain. Either way it goes.
Absolutely. I will get into any sort of heated debate or whatever it is, or like pile on with you about whatever, so long as I know that you bothered to show the fuck up and fill out the little things. Like, that's really it. So I'm really happy. Hopefully you did the thing. If you know somebody who didn't do the thing, I'm not saying publicly shame them, but I'm not saying publicly shame them. Yeah. And I know that might not be the most popular opinion, but if I've learned anything about our new social media society, the only way people tend to do the right thing anymore is by being publicly ostracized. So fuck it.
They at least owe you a drink. Or a few. Or all of them. They owe you all the drinks.
Or a verbal explanation of why they feel as though it wasn't necessary. Now, I will add caveats. If you were unable to do it because of illness, I understand.
Yeah.
Because of a child or some sort of related thing, I understand. If for some sort of job-related thing, especially a last-minute job-related thing, I understand.
Although, in Maryland, your job is required to give you 2 hours to fucking vote. So
yes. though good luck forcing some employers to actually do that.
That's true. But I mean, it's still, again,
and here's the thing, and I'll say this for next time. If you found yourself in that sort of situation, I ask that you figure out how to do either early voting or an absentee ballot for next time, so this way you know that you are part of the process.
Yep.
That's all I ask.
Yep.
Now, if you have a dickbag friend who's like, "My vote doesn't count," I want you to tag them in a big open post or cut a video or ask them on camera without them noticing, and then I want the rest of the internet to eviscerate these dumb fucks.
Because Do a shoot on.
That's what I'm saying, Jamie. Like, we have to solve this problem. And I think the only way that we've learned to do it is by just publicly calling them out.
Just
I don't care
if
it's an unpopular
promos on our friends that don't vote.
Just like, yeah. That's really what it is. Are you 18? Are you capable of finishing complete sentences and tying your shoes? Fuck it, you should be voting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the bare minimum. Just fucking vote, man.
Yep.
Fucking vote.
Yep. Anyway, Jamie Gucci.
Yeah. Brandon Chalmers. Yeah. What are you let's try to kick it up a notch. What are you geeking on this week?
So what I'm geeking on this week, ironically enough, is relatively politically related, but only sort of. Wife and I ended up watching the new season of House of Cards.
Oh yes. How'd you like it?
I wish they would have stopped about an episode and a half before it was over.
Yeah.
I don't want to give any spoilers or anything else like that, but I think they had a perfect moment to solve that, like, and just kind of end the series right there.
Yeah.
I think when you watch it, you'll see what I'm talking about. For those of you who've seen it and want to, like, go back and forth with me, you know where I am on social media. I am happy to go back and forth with you. But all in all, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really creative, them completely figuring out a way to get around Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
that was kind of fun. But
he did.
All, yeah, like, hey, so we're back. Cool. So that guy's dead.
He
all right,
did.
Moving on. Right, yeah, like, it was like, and here's a new cast of characters to have you completely forget the Kevin Spacey and touch someone without their permission.
So I have a question, and yeah, maybe it's because I hate watch this show and I don't like any of the characters on it. But
really? Interesting.
I watched a couple of reviews and people were saying like, oh, I love Doug Stamper. He's such a relatable guy and he's such a loyal dude and I like him. And I'm like, I don't like that character at all. And maybe I'm misreading things, but like I find him extremely annoying.
Can I ask the clarification of the term annoying in this context?
I just find him the amount of self-delusion and the fact that the show spends so much time on his bullshit. I just like every time he's on screen, it just bores me to tears and it sucks the energy out of the show. And I'm just like, and maybe it's just me because apparently people love him as a character and I can't relate. I just find him just insufferable.
Can I maybe give a counterpoint to your thought process?
I mean, if you can explain why people dig the guy, that's great.
Oh, I can totally explain why people dig the guy. He is the definition of what the quote-unquote man used to be. He is stoic, loyal, dangerous as fuck, and is not to be messed with and is incredibly quiet about it. He is what every single person wishes they had as their wingman, a dude who's willing to potentially kill for you or actually kill for you and then honor your shit after the grave. That is some Fast and Furious level family shit. Like, Dom doesn't hold Brian up like Doug holds Frank. And that is something to really be like in awe of. Is it good? Is it justified? Fuck no. Though I do have a theory very quickly to throw in with all the rest of the nerds. I think Doug and Frank were fucking. So
Yeah.
I think there's no way around it. They were totally fucking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's that's not subtext, that's text.
Right. So like I could totally understand that whole thing of you know, basically my love died, taken from me too soon.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm gonna carry on his torch and I'm gonna be real fucking angry about it.
Yeah.
Though admittedly, there's gonna be a scene, kids, if you end up watching it, where Doug ends up going after someone in a cabin, and that moment right there, possibly favorite moment in television, because that was fucking great.
Yeah. I mean,
it was almost on par with like the Kurt Russell tombstone slapping Billy Bob Thornton. Are you going to do something? Are you just going to stand there and bleed? And it's like, yes, more of that.
I mean, the actor did a great job, and he portrayed the character to the nines.
Yes.
And I don't take that away. Like the character was well crafted, well done. I just don't like him. It's like Dave Matthews Band. That is a skilled set of musicians. They can play anything. They are amazing at what they do. I can't stand that fucking music.
I think I figured this out, Jamie. I think this is a white thing.
Actually, the guy who reviewed it was a white person that I saw. I really love Dave Stamper. I'm like, right. Motherfucker, what's wrong with you?
Well, no, that makes a lot of sense, because this is the reason you like Doug Stamper, most likely, not always true, but most likely, is you miss the definition of a man. And and I've heard that over and over again from people who look just fucking like me. And if you never had for the Dave Matthews thing, if you've never had the experience of being a white person in flip-flops, you won't understand the majesty that is Dave Matthews. That's really, like, that's a rite of passage.
Well, I understand it. I just don't like it.
Yeah, right. But I think, weirdly enough, I think Doug Stamper and Dave Matthews, different sides of the same white-ass coin. Like, it's like an albino commemorative coin.
Are these the same people who love Friends because they had friends just like Friends?
Okay, look, I have been with people and known people who fucking love Friends, and let me be really clear about this. And I'm going to look not at your feed or anything else like that. I'm going to look directly in the camera lens. If you like Friends and you can relate to them, you're a terrible person, because every one of them is a fucking terrible person. They have moments of decency, but they are few and far between. They are speed bumps on a fucking highway of awful whiteness. Friends is fucking bad. It just is. Most likely, by the way, the same people who are going to defend Friends are going to be like, Grey's Anatomy is the greatest thing ever.
Oh, God.
No, it is fucking not. Like, I appreciate at least that they're willing to diversify their cast a little bit, as opposed to fucking Friends, whiter than shit.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I'm going to catch flack for this. Shonda Rhimes is not a great writer, and no one misses whatever the fuck her name was from the fucking blonde McWhatever the fuck.
Oh,
Katherine Heigl.
Katherine Heigl, yeah.
I miss Katherine Heigl so little, I couldn't figure out what fucking movie she was in with Seth Rogen to reference Katherine Heigl. Yeah, when a dude who is getting the most money leaves your show to go car racing, that's a sign you're shitty writing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like any of those shows that we just mentioned. Although, I enjoyed House of Cards. I watched all of it. Like, I binged it in 2 days. Because I love the noir political intrigue of
yes.
the city that's like down the street from me. Like, I'm way into politics a little bit too much, you know, but that's my jam.
And to House of Cards' credit, it creates a parallel universe that is not so parallel. And it creates a lot of scenarios, especially this season, of a very realistic future, and tackles a lot of really dangerous topics. I argue at breakneck speed, because I think this season's only like eight episodes. Yeah, like I would have liked to have seen that season carved out over two seasons and really broken into some of that stuff, because there's at least one episode where like it's a fucking roller coaster of shit coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm aware that like it's in almost real time of how bad shit happens, but if you're trying to tell a complete story, no fucking way. Oh, fuck, I totally forgot. Jay Minoguchi. Okay, hang on. I have to geek about two things. The second thing, right? So there's a new podcast. It's only going to be seven episodes. There are now three episodes in. And some people are going to roll their eyes at this. Rachel Maddow did a whole thing called Bagman. So the whole, basically what it is, it's almost done like Serial, where it's a designed show. It has a very clear narrative, like they're telling the story of Spiro Agnew, who is Richard Nixon's vice president.
Yes.
Ironically enough, also, he started on the Baltimore County Council right down the fucking street. Nice. His zone is the one I live in right now. So I live in the area that created the worst vice president in presidential history. Yeah, that's right. Baltimore, once again, number one in something. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, so it is done incredibly well. It tells the perspective really interestingly. The music is amazing. They managed to find like an Ocean's 11 style music track that like you get into a conversation about something. And then when she wants to like shift and kind of give you fill in gaps until you get to the next conversation, the music starts up. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, cool. So we're going to get an information dump. Here we go. And then you get to the next conversation. She talks to the actual prosecutors. She talks to Spiro Agnew's defense team. And she exposes notes that had previously been sealed that are unsealed to each attorney without them reading it first. So you get real-time reactions of they're reading about, like, apparently Spiro and his team were actively obstructing justice, but the other team never actually knew it until now. So you get to see them go, wait, I thought that was this. That was them doing that? Fuck! So good. Yeah, like
that sounds awesome. That sounds right up my alley.
Good. Yeah, and like you're gonna end up tearing through it, and you're gonna be mad at me because they only come out once a week.
That's
so fine. You may want to wait until the end of the 7 weeks and set a reminder or something like that, but I would highly suggest, like, there's three episodes out right now.
Cool.
Tomorrow they're short too. They're only like 35 or 40 minutes each, so you'll
set in a day.
Throw those on, kids, tomorrow, like, especially with everything going on, you will be fucking intrigued.
That sounds awesome.
Super good.
I'll check that out as soon as I wake up from my fucking whatever is gonna happen tonight.
Jamie, I will remind you, do not get too super excited about tonight. Remember that it took California, who may actually be the deciding state, a month to finish counting presidential votes.
I know.
Be weeks or even a month until we actually figure out whether or not anything's been flipped.
Yeah,
so I tell everyone who's like freaking out about election results and everything, pump your brakes, kids, because you can't like die on the hill tonight. It ain't going to get done.
Yeah.
Anywho, Jamie, what are you geeking out about?
All right. I am geeking out about a plugin for Adobe Illustrator called, and I'm geeking out about it so much that I forget the fucking name, it's called Font Self. Now, Font Self allows you to create your own fonts and use them for whatever you want to do directly in Illustrator. So you don't have to get this. There's a couple of different font making programs. Font Lab is like the Cadillac of all font making programs.
Okay.
And you open up Font Lab and it's, I mean, if you thought learning Illustrator was tough, Font Lab is a whole nother language. It's just a whole bunch of new shit. And I was just like, no. So Font Self just plugs right into Illustrator. You do your thing, drag the font over to the panel, and it creates a font, and then you can set the spacing and the kerning and all that kind of fun stuff. And I'm using it for a bunch of different comic projects. So I did a piece for The Nib that just went up yesterday.
I saw that.
And they wanted a handwritten font. And there are a bunch of different comic fonts, and I use a bunch of different comic fonts, but I was like, well, it's sort of like an autobio. Maybe I want to do it my own handwriting. And so I worked with the editors over at The Nib to create a font. And so, like, they helped me. I sent in they had this form that I had to fill out and, like, do all the letters and send it to them. And they created a basic font for my handwriting. And I took a look at it, and I put it in the comic, and I was like, this is okay, but I kind of want to fix some things. Like, the E was a little bit weird and the spacing was a little weird. So
yeah.
I took that font that they made and I refined it a little bit more. And then I used this plugin to kind of supercharge it, if you will.
It's an actual plugin on Adobe Illustrator, you said?
Yeah. It's like an extension that you can install and all that kind of stuff.
How much are we talking?
So this sucker is it's like $50.
Okay. All right. Is it a one-time investment?
Yeah, it's a one-time thing. So
Okay.
I already have a Creative Cloud of subscription. I finally broke down and I got the subscription. But I get an
I get it.
education discount because I teach at Montgomery College. So I was like, well, I get a
Okay.
discount. So
There
yeah.
you go. All right. So at least you didn't end up getting completely raped.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's great. You can create color fonts, which I never knew was a thing now. So like if you have like a letter set that you want with specific colors, instead of like trying to color every letter differently, you can do that in this plugin.
Ah, so we can create a Jamie Noguchi Rage font in red.
Yeah, so it could just be
Okay.
red or like specific gradients if you wanted it that way. I'm creating another font for pan fried, which is a fried dumpling, so it's gonna be shouty text and it's all yelly stuff.
Okay.
I have a couple of ideas for some other fonts that I want to put together, but like just a bunch of utility things that'll give you a starting point for a design that you just then break apart and then manipulate it yourself and stuff.
That's rad, because that can be super useful for people who are doing web design too, can't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. This plugin, the fonts that you make, they have another thing where you can convert it for the web, so that anything that you create yourself, you can like load it up on a web page and use it on the web, which is really cool.
That means that quite a few people that we know would be able to turn this into a tax write-off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would highly suggest a certain host with the most who happens to run an incredibly friendly company maybe pick this up.
Well,
Might be a great idea.
he probably, I mean, when you get the Creative Cloud subscription, you also get a Typekit, or I guess they're calling it Adobe Fonts now. So you have
Okay.
access to thousands of fonts. You have the default ones that are installed, and then you
Yeah.
get thousands for free from
Oh,
Adobe. So
okay, but you and I have both learned from just coming up with and talking about art fight posters. You can have access to thousands of fonts. There's a good chance you're not going to scroll through all of them. You're just going to make something yourself.
yeah.
So if you
Well,
had
I
one,
will.
you will because you're a fucking sadist, but that's a whole different argument. But I think if you are impatient or just you're insisting that no, I have to do it because it has to be by my hand. And man, do we know a lot of people who are like that. I'm one of them if I had this fucking skill. I would end up forking out that $50 without thinking about it and going to do the damn thing.
It's a lot of fun. I have no idea what I'm doing with any of it, but I've gotten some pretty good results just like with the default settings. And so if you are a designer and you are just kind of you always want to tweak a font, or you can find something but it's never the perfect thing, this will let you do the thing that you want. This will
There you go.
you can you know if you always find the R's are a little fucked and you want to change it, fix that and make your own fonts. And then you can try to sell them online and stuff. I might try to sell like a couple of these. I'm calling them utility fonts because they're not good, but they're starters that you can just kind of, here's a start, then you mess with it yourself.
There you go.
So I might put up a couple on my site for like $5 here and there. I don't
Do
know.
it.
We'll see what
Yeah,
happens.
I bet we know quite a few people who would at least pay the $5 just to try them and have them as a resource. Yeah.
So there you go.
Cool. That's awesome.
All right. I thought I would bring up a topic that could potentially go way wrong.
Okay, I think what am I mistaken? Are we out of topics on our list? Do we need to start brainstorming again?
We are out of topics on the list. Um,
Okay.
there there are a couple that have been submitted. Some of them aren't, I don't think they would quite work, and we have to massage them a little bit.
We should talk about that after the episode. Kids, you can tell how little Jamie and I actually prepare for this. When we say we literally like turn the microphones on and then start into this, that is the active amount of preparation that we do.
Yeah.
Professional.
So I want to talk about comics, and I want to talk about the business of comics, so like the industry of comics. And I think, so if you are not aware, and many people I talk to aren't, the way the comic book industry works, in terms of selling to the direct market, and the direct market is the comic book store, in mm-hmm. order for a store to figure out what comics to order, they have to predict what their customers are going to order 3 months in advance.
Uh-huh.
So if you told somebody, if you were starting up a business and you said, okay, I have this thing, I'm going to be making products, but you can only order them 3 months in advance. That requires a lot of education on the part of the retailer. So like I have to, as a retailer, I have to train my customers to understand that this is the way that the system is going to work. And the problem with it, and the reason why I think this is a broken system, is it because it encourages the type of person who is maybe a little obsessive about stuff, and if things don't go their way, they become like toxic online and start stupid shit like diversity in comics and complain that comics aren't for them anymore, and they go on these stupid rants and they ruin people's lives because the way the system is set up, it caters to this obsessive compulsive type of fan. And I think in the long run it's hurt the industry. The movies are helping, but like floppy sales are down and they haven't really recovered to like pre-90s numbers.
Oh, okay. Can I interject here, because I think we're having two separate conversations here. The floppy sales themselves, a separate thing. I want to put a pin in that because I think I could solve that problem very easily.
Okay.
The rest of it though, let me kind of burst the bubble here a little bit. Every single retailer across the country who sells goods to customers has to do forecasts for everything. They are forced to place large orders of items that they think will be there to be able to get premier pricing. That is just how retail works.
Okay.
That is why it is incredibly difficult to start a retail business, because if your projected forecasts are wrong, you could end up failing in the first year. If you have an existing business and you actually know what's going on and you are smart enough to keep documented records of what titles, what times of year these titles sell, what response each thing's do, and be able to create a real sales forecast and projection, you will probably do okay. Now, you probably won't end up killing it in the floppy market.
Right.
Because I think it's a little unpredictable. But I guarantee you could probably pick 15 titles that you would regularly stock and sell and then possibly expand it, or then get into the long box game and know exactly how you're going to handle the rest of your projections. Mm-hmm. And you can force your customers to be that way. But I think to call it – I don't know. You didn't quite go as far to say it's unfair to the retailers, but – I don't think that's actually unfair. I think a lot of that is the retailers not being prepared for this mm-hmm. and not having the due diligence of, like, being a comic book fan and knowing a lot about comic books doesn't mean you can run a comic book store.
Right.
Like, it's not like music where, like, you can mm-hmm. know a ton about it and know how to play it and be able to play it, and suddenly you have the skills to potentially be a really successful musician. Knowing a shit ton about comics just makes you a fucking asshole. It doesn't actually make you a business owner, and it also doesn't mean that you suddenly understand sales.
Right.
I honestly probably have more experience with my retail and inventory background to run a comic book store than most comic book nerds who actually run comic book stores.
Yeah, because the problem is if you go from like super fan to retailer, you're only going to collect the books that you like, and you're only going to stock the books that you like because you're the one who bought these. Why wouldn't other people buy them?
Right.
And that kills your market because you're going to be catering to a decreasing number of fans in your area because people move out of the city and move back in the city.
Right.
So you're fucked.
And unlike some sort of like artist or something like that, you're not able to find a niche market that way and be sustainable if you have a brick and mortar business.
Right.
It's incredibly hard to find a niche market unless you manage to either establish yourself early on or you have something that keeps people kind of coming back. It's hard to keep the brick and mortar facility going.
So do you think so I guess this takes care of most of this. Do you think the problem is that most comic book store owners are comic book fans and not straight up business people? Do you think or do you think there's something else?
I think the problem is the floppies are too fucking expensive.
Okay.
Flat out. No one who I know who is a comic book fan, excuse me, has the money to be able to actively subscribe to four or five comics at $4 an issue and be able to have a bunch of extra scratch to do other stuff. If you are a comic book fan with a long box, there is good chance you're not into much else.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a lot of disposable income for other things. I read comics either digitally or when I know I'm going to either be traveling or going on vacation, I will buy actual graphic novels.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I collect trades.
Right, yeah. I collect trades. And you know comic book stores that have gotten mostly, I think, out of the floppy game other than long boxes because it's the only way to sustain yourself. And I know it sounds silly that like running a bookstore seems like the smart idea because it's an incredibly difficult business to run, but at least you have a niche clientele of knowing that you're going to have the books that they would end up buying somewhere else, and they're willing to pay the tax of keeping you in business and saying, yeah, I can buy it for Amazon for $14, or I can buy it from you for $16, which is the cover actual price. Right. So I don't think I'm getting ripped off at all, and I get to support the business, and then I can prepare it. Like, I can mentally be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense, but like, imagine, Jamie, you at – what is it? It is still like $4 an issue or is it over $4 an issue?
It's – some of them are $5.
Okay. So let's assume it's even on the lower scale. Let's assume that you're doing a $40 a month subscription. Oof. Right?
Yeah.
And then you've got all of the other things that you want to go out and do. A $40 a month subscription, in some places, that's a fucking gym membership. Like – that ain't a cheap hobby.
Yeah. You get more for less on a Netflix subscription.
Also, right. And also, how quickly are you going to tear through those 10 issues? Because most of them, not all, most of them are not the longest stories anymore. Mm-mm.
And they do this decompressed storytelling where like a floppy is maybe a chapter. Whereas like, you know, when my dad was collecting comics, a floppy was a full contained story. It was,
right.
You know, you got a whole thing.
No, I think like it's almost like the floppies now that I have picked up feel more like a Dragon Ball episode. We're like we get like, I don't know, this much story and this much story time, and there's a lot of fluff and filler in between because I think they're trying to make sure that they can stretch the stuff out. And I understand that there's a lot of back and forth about, you know, how much comic book artists need to be paid and illustrators and colorists and all of the other monster that feeds everything. And I understand that Diamond is not without fault in all this. They've managed to become the monopoly for most of this. And anytime you don't have any real competition, it's hard for retailers to compete. I genuinely think that Diamond killed comics.
I mean,
I think if retailers were able to direct market to DC, Marvel, Image, all of these guys have separate accounts for them, be able to order from them directly, and Marvel and all them could handle everything, they would totally be able to do it. Because Marvel, all they have to do is deal with Diamond, and Diamond gets to be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
The creators never do anything wrong. The retailers can't seem to get a hand up, and this middle hand is just kind of going, what do you want us to do? You got to place the orders. You want to run the shop. You got to place the orders. This is how our process is. They're an 800-pound gorilla. They'll do whatever they want.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, like, if you – the only way to get comics is through a comic book store. Like, you can't go to – like, I can't go to CBS and pick up a floppy for, like, a buck. I can't go to, like – well, there's no more Tower Records. But, like, you know, you used to be able to find comics everywhere.
Yeah, you used to be able to get floppies at a bunch of different places. Now you have to go to the places who are willing to deal with Diamond. I go back to the whole thing, Jamie.
Yeah.
I think realistically, you know how you fix comics, or at least you start to fix comics? You shut down Diamond.
Yeah.
You give retailers the option to go direct.
Yeah. And then they could price things a little bit less insane. And you could set up like different systems where like some of the shit could be returnable, because that's like one of the big complaints that all retailers have is like, none of this stuff is returnable. None of this stuff
fuck off with your returnable. It's not a fucking Amazon order. You ordered it to sell. Sell it. If it doesn't move, sell it cheaper. Don't order it again. That's how retail works. I'm sorry to be that guy, but I have no remorse in most cases for retailers who were like, they wouldn't let me return the stuff I didn't sell. It's like, no fucking shit. Don't order things you can't fucking sell. Like, it's not difficult to do this. If there's a new thing coming out, fucking tell your cores, hey guys, there's a new event coming out. If you're interested in it, let me know. I'm only going to order 50 issues on top of the long boxes. That's all I'm ordering. And you know, if the thing's a fucking flop, you cancel it after the first thing or whatever it is, and you eat the rest of it. And that's just part of what it is. But there's a good chance that most of the people who have these long box subscriptions are going to hang on to it for at least the first 3 or 4 months just to see if the story's any good.
Yeah.
So you've got your first few months, and you can figure out, like, if your long box subscriptions are solid but your retail sales are bad for the first issue, you clearance the rest of the first issue, and then you maybe order not 50 but 10. And if you sell out of 10, then you fucking move the thing up and you create what's called, and this is going to be crazy to fucking understand for most people who run a business, and this is true of even fucking comic people who we know, there's a thing called a min-max, okay? You order when you reach your minimum, and you don't order any more than this one, and you don't let fucking freaky trends go out. Because guess what, Jamie? Selling out of something is a great fucking problem to have. Because there's a good chance that your sweaty-ass nerds would be the ones who would leave you if you didn't have something in stock because it's sold out, are the same people who will never fucking leave you. They'll never leave you.
Yeah.
And they'll learn the lesson that's what's going on. If you went down to your comic book store and they were sold out of a certain issue and you go, I'm sorry, man, it moves like crazy. You might want to try the place down the street, but next time I'm going to order a bunch more. You'd be like, okay, cool. And next time it comes out, you're going to fucking go back to the same store who treated you well and buy it, and you're going to be the person who gets it instead of next time. That's how it fucking works. That's retail. It's retail. And I understand that, like, I have personal experience with comic book store owners that chapped my ass here.
I feel like I kicked a hornet's nest on this.
No, because fuck you! Run a business! Like, I'm sorry, but run a fucking business. It's not, like, that's not a fair assessment to say it's not that hard. It's incredibly hard to run a business. And I am totally lumping a lot of stuff in. And I understand that there are way more layers than that. And whoever runs a business or works at that business who's going to see this is going to be cussing me out something fierce. And that's fine. Fuck you, too. with that said, fucking bring in somebody who understands retail. Every single comic book store should have one person on staff who has the following. No fucking interest in comics, we're not going to steal from you. Because if you think underpaid, sweaty nerds aren't fucking skimming from you, whether it's product or money, you are out of your mind. Most comic book stores, they staff all these people who are super knowledgeable. And I can tell you right now, if you staff someone who is attractive and kind but doesn't know anything about comics, you will sell just as many fucking comics. You absolutely will. The chances of you selling some sweaty nerd who comes in a new issue of something because the dude behind the counter knows a ton about it is like this big.
Yeah.
So stop narrow casting and start picking up the people who are casually walking in to see what your shop's like. Most of them are about my age. They stopped reading comics when they were in their early 20s, when it got too fucking expensive and they were out of cash. They're suddenly getting better jobs and they're starting to be able to possibly get back into comics again. What they want is someone kind, not fucking sweaty, and not interested in selling you something. You just walk over and just go, hey, so I'm getting back into comics. What do you recommend? And you go, well, what did you used to read? And you go, like Batman and Star Wars and yada yada, and you go, okay, so here's what we've got for the new Batman. Here's the thing that no one wants to say. Not what's good. Here's what's selling well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a good chance, whether you're looking, and here, Jamie, here's a reality of it. Pornhub. If you go to Pornhub and you check the ratings, right?
Yeah.
No one fucking cares if it's rated 98%.
No.
If 1.6 million people watched it, but it's only got a 70% rating, it's like a fucking Amazon review.
Yeah.
They're going to drag that bitch down, but still 1.6 million people fucking watch that. That's the one you want to watch. So I don't care what your sweaty ass wants to spank to. I'm curious what's fucking being viewed.
Yeah.
So tell me, as a fan or a potential fan, what's selling? Hey, the new Batman, I'm hearing good things, but it's selling like gangbusters.
Yeah.
So this is the one you're going to get into, if only because you can tell them if it's selling well, DC's going to continue to support it, and it's not going to stop. Nobody cares about your Captain Beef hard-ass comic that you think is amazing and is going to not get made in another month.
Yeah. That's the sad truth about a lot of this stuff.
But fuck it. It should be.
Yeah.
If your ass wants to make something weird and amazing, sometimes you're just going to have to pay for it yourself. I get that it's unfair. I'm sorry. I'll break out my tiny fucking violin for your sorrow, but that's just reality. Stop doing this. Stop hiring sweaty nerds for this shit. Let these fucking assholes work at GameStop. Like, they don't need to work for you. They don't. The other thing that you need to fucking hire is someone who actually understands inventory.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hire someone who used to work at a kitchen supply company or worked for something else that is not fucking comic books, where that person looks at sales trends and part numbers, and that's fucking it. They don't care if it's Grommet or Green Arrow. They know sales are sales, trends are trends. They're going to be able to break your numbers down, and they're going to be able to give you a good idea of what's going on. You can hire these people. They're fucking moonlighting. They can do this in their goddamn bathrobe. Send them over your fucking QuickBooks and let them go over this shit for you and pay them a few hundred dollars a month and fucking be happy about it.
Yeah, that sounds fuck, I need
like that. That's the thing. Like, if you had somebody who didn't give a fuck about what you made, like, as terrible as that sounds, didn't care about it.
That's what you need, though.
Raw numbers. Yeah, you need a no guy.
Yeah.
This is what comic book stores need. They need a no guy. Someone who not only just tries to turn down ideas that they think are dumb, but literally looks at the sales figures and says, look, financially, this title has not done well. Even if they're talking about a big new event or whatever it is, you should not order what Diamond is telling you, because statistically, in your demo, in your store, you have not sold this well.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing – like, you can break into analytics and get down to all crazy shit of like why the large group of sweaty nerds that you happen to have isn't into whatever this title is. Fuck it. You can pay a different kid for that, but the one that you're looking for is what's actually moving. If you want to thrive, you have to stick with what sells. Then you can start to expand your clientele.
So, getting off the retailer for a second.
Sorry. I want comic book stores to be around. I genuinely do. I think they're important for fandom.
Yeah, I get that. Do you think that the industry could be doing more to expand their reach? Because do you think do you think, like, if they just killed the floppies and just stopped selling floppies and concentrated on doing, like, the long form collections? Because
Every sweaty nerd's gonna fucking have a hissy fit. Jamie Noguchi, comics are bigger than they ever have been. They literally created real life versions of characters, plaster them on billboards, and spread their stories around the fucking planet 2.5 hour segments at a time. If you can't turn that into book sales, the fuck?
They haven't. If you look at floppy sales, those numbers are shit compared to what they used to be.
Because no one wants to read fucking comics anymore, Jamie.
That's true.
I'm sorry, it's a dying medium. It's like anything else. Comics are going to eventually be vinyl. There's going to be a market for it. It's going to be rabid. It's going to continue to sustain itself, but it's going to need to reset the clock a little bit and get a realistic expectation of what it's going to sell. Trades will do better than floppies, I always believe, because people are able to grasp a full story in a section. And we are still, as a market, okay with buying comics in volumes. If we're okay with buying trades in volumes to tell a complete story, we're good with that. But most people, myself included, that I personally have spoken to, I'm speaking to my experience, don't buy the first trade. They usually find out about a trade from someone else two or three trades in.
Right. So, but then, like, why continue to try to sustain the floppy market if the trend is going towards more and more
because how sales? Do you feed the beast?
I don't know.
I mean, you are very close to people who run a comic book store that don't really do floppies.
Yeah. I mean, I know two shops in our area that they have the floppies, but they do most of their business on book sales, like right. collection sales.
Right.
So, like, if retailers are starting to shy away from the floppy, why not be brave like Apple and get rid of the fucking earphone thing? Like,
who's going to be the first one? And by the way, remember that Apple's also going back to a non-proprietary thing next time.
Yeah,
because I think they're going back to USB-C. So
yeah.
Even Apple can learn its own fucking lesson. So yeah. let's not call them pioneers or anything here.
Right. But that's I was going for their marketing bullshit.
No, I get that, but like neither Marvel nor DC are going to be willing to change it up that way. You see this though with small independent printers.
Yeah.
Like the only one that I know who's going the opposite direction, but they figured out how to solve the problem of not being in comic book stores is Alterna. That our close friend and Baron von Sexival, Michael Bracco, is doing, where they're doing the newspaper style floppies that are done at a much lower price point. I think they're $1 a piece or $1.50 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And it creates the ability to have them in grocery stores or pharmacies or whatever it is, where kids have the ability to see them, think that they're cool, and have a low enough price point that a parent is willing to grab it and go, yeah, you know what, that's okay. Because it sounds silly because it's not that much more, but I know I'm not the only one who would be willing to buy something for $1.50 and at $4 would say, fuck that noise.
Do you think so in Japan, the way they do it, they like every week they have these giant collections like Shonen Jump, Shoujo Jump or whatever, and it's essentially like 16 pages, but it's like, you know, 10 fucking comics in this one thing with shitty shit paper.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would work, but
I don't think that would work either, because also they're willing to exploit the manga staff and creators and everything else like that way more than they are able to do safely.
But here's where I was going with that. Do you think if Marvel and DC started putting out like floppies on shit paper, like newsprint, I still color, but like, you know, not as high quality, not glossy, and cut the price down, because that's where the cost is going. Like the high glossy shit, the cover stock, the card stock, and all that.
Maybe
kind of stuff.
I don't know. Here's where my thought is with that. Would it get you and I to read them? No.
No.
Would it get kids to read them? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, if
like Hazel, if Jamie, here's the idea: if you were at a grocery store with your daughter, right, and you were checking out, and you're in the line that's actually okay for kids or whatever it is, it doesn't have a bunch of candy, it's got like the fruit leather and all the healthy shit or whatever it is, and before you get there, there's a like a turnstile rack, and it's got a bunch of newspaper print style floppies, and your daughter picks up a copy of X-Men.
Yeah.
Would you be cool with paying $1.50 for her to be able to experience that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Now, let me ask you the question. Do you think it needs to be a new story?
No, not for a kid.
So why would – like, and this is the catch-22. Why wouldn't they just reprint their most popular storylines in newsprint to indoctrinate a younger audience into comic books at a lower price point and change the way they do it. The new ones are all done in graphic novel form, and the floppies go back to a more traditional style thing. Your graphic novel does really well. Yours ends up in the queue of ones to be sold.
See, I love this idea.
It's like to create new content and be able to continue to sell comics and create comics.
Yeah.
It's a way to get younger readers into comics at a lower price point to be able to get everything going on. And you could still make, if you really want to, the long box subscription, super fancy ones for the nerds, but you slowly start to pare that shit back.
Yeah.
You don't do them as often. You then only create these things in volumes, you know, like things that don't move necessarily so fast. You tell your retailers, hey, your long box guys or whatever it is that are doing Star Wars comics or whatever the fuck, I'm coming back to like some big name stuff, but not necessarily comic stuff. That they were getting, you know, a weekly floppy. They're going, you know, there's going to be a 2-week delay, and then every 3 weeks there's going to be a new bound version of the thing, and they're going to move it at the same pace, mm-hmm. but they're only going to sell it as volumes.
Or maybe you extend the page number, because right now it's like 22 pages, 20 pages of a comic. Maybe you do like a 32 page thing.
I
would buy a 32 page comic for $5.
I think, Jamie, honestly, you need to combine a bunch of them together. I want a storyline. I want to have multiples together, because one of my favorites recently, the new Hawkeye, Fractions Hawkeye,
uh-huh.
right? Really well done, really stylized in certain ones, but I only read it in a trade.
Yeah.
And it didn't stop me from reading it in a trade, and I enjoyed the fact that I got a nice hunk of story arc. And I swear, I think those trades are not 30 or 40 pages, but like 70 pages maybe. I think it's like at least 4 issues.
Yeah, I think the 4-issue thin trade, I think that's the perfect format.
That's totally fine with me, right? Because you could realistically, if you manage to create a buffer where you just said, hey guys, we're shifting over titles that aren't selling as well, we're going to convert them to trade and see how they do.
Yeah.
And they literally, like, they say, okay, there's going to be 4 weeks, there's going to be a month delay, and then we're going to release the first trade. And depending on how it does, that's the next trade. And if things don't go well, the last trade is going to be the last trade. And they just create it like other comics. You know that stuff's been canceled like television shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But comics stop. Some of them just do.
Yeah.
So do it that way. Then you've got a proven model that works. You can still sell multiple volumes. You can still keep your timeline going on. I've already covered how you bring in younger readers for established stuff. And if your shit's really – like Saga. Fucking Saga. You could totally do they already do like the combined versions, right? But Saga
– yeah.
Was there was a floppy version of Saga, right?
Yeah, so Saga's great because the floppies – they do the floppies. They do the trades. The trades are 6 issues. The reason why you buy the floppies rather than just doing the trades is because the floppies have like a letter column where Fiona and I don't even remember the writer's name, but they answer questions from fans and they do preview stuff. So it's like a Patreon subscription. You get extra bits and like commentary and stuff.
Okay, there you go.
But we only collect the trades, and I don't feel like we're missing out on anything like the...
Right, but that's the thing. That's a perfect example of the new system working.
Yeah.
You only collect the trades. You still enjoy it. You still absolutely love it. But that's just how that works.
Yeah.
Like that. Done. It's already a proven business model. Me figuring out the reprint trades or whatever, or the reprint floppies or whatever.
For the kids. Yeah.
For the kids. That. Okay, I assume that's not a new idea, but you know, like that makes way more sense to me than a bunch of sweaty, like relying on a bunch of sweaty ass 40-year-olds to come in and ask when the new issue of Batwoman's coming out. Like,
yeah.
I no one wants to fucking write to your ass. Like, you can wait for the trades.
Yeah.
And you will. You and I both know you will. Because you're going to complain about it, and you're going to say, this is bullshit, and then when the new trade comes out, you're going to fucking flip out about it, and you're going to love every bit about it. And that's just how that's going to be.
Yeah.
they need to get out of the non-subscription floppy business. If you're a big fan of something, you can order it and also have the option of doing back floppies if you want to. Like, let people go, hey, I ordered a subscription long box or whatever it is for this. You make them, you know, you want to do the floppies of Saga because you want to have all that extra stuff, but you missed issue one and two or whatever it is because you picked up the trade or blah, blah, you know. Have an option for it. You sign up for the thing. You have to buy the issues, the singles. You have to buy all of them. And then you send a guaranteed print order to Diamond. Diamond sends that to the actual comic printer of whatever it is. And then they have a print on demand request. Then Marvel or DC or wherever doesn't lose any money. Diamond gets their cut. And the nerds who really want them will have them. It's not any more or less effort. You're already creating the images. You're already creating the plates. You're already creating all of the work for it. What the fuck is the difference?
Yeah.
The only difference is mine has guaranteed sales. The other one sticks people with a bunch of fucking long boxes that they're not going to sell.
Yeah.
I think the era of long boxes and dollar comics are over. And I think it's a good thing. Get rid of these fucking hotel comic conventions where these guys trade back issues of fucking Shadow Cat or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And let them die with old media. Let them go. It's fine.
Let them die.
Well, because think about it. Most of these motherfuckers are the problem, are the same people who are going to attack people for changing something. You made Thor a woman. You made a stormtrooper black. Like, these are the same fucking assholes who cry about the fucking sanctity of comics. Yeah. Fuck off with your shit.
I think that the old media, the way the business is structured, it just caters way too heavily to that old crowd.
Yes. There is always going to be a group of people who claim that the way things used to be were better.
And
some of them have some of them have some valid points about some things, but there's a reason why things had to change.
Yeah.
And whether you're able to wrap your head around all of the reasons, and some of them could just be some asshole up high made a decision and it wasn't a great one. Fine. Yeah. But the market tends to solve itself. Like, I hate to sound like a fucking Republican-ass capitalist, but when it comes to retail, it fucking solves itself. Things that don't sell die. It just is how we work. So I'm not going to feel bad about it. I want comic book stores to be around. I want them to continue to be around. I want them to do well. I want them to fucking fight the system and stop playing with Diamond the way you used to.
Yeah.
You just have to do it.
Maybe get out enough of the floppy business. Maybe enough of them got together that could force Diamond to make changes.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Wow. Just the idea of unionizing comic book stores.
Or, I mean, they all talk to each other. Like,
no,
I think
genuinely, like, unionizing comic book stores and then collectively bargaining with Diamond.
Ooh.
Because if you want to shut Diamond down, turning them into public enemy number one against some of the largest creators there, you want to force Marvel and DC to do a direct business?
Yeah.
That'd be it.
That would be, I think... I mean,
good luck getting a bunch of sweaty nerds to agree on a collective bargaining. We can't even get them to agree on a fucking storyline. So,
that's true.
this is the problem. I think nerds aren't going to be able to get out of their own way about that sort of
stuff. Self-defeating prophecy. They're not going to.
This is Diamond's secret. What if they band together?
Yeah. They'll never band together.
Yeah. They're just going to argue about Superman, so fuck it. Who cares? They're not going to get anything done.
Every comic book shop thinks of themselves as Batman, the loner in the front lines that doesn't want to deal with anyone else.
It's not even that, Jamie. They're going to get together. They're going to agree on all the paperwork. Then one of them's going to make a reference to something. The other one's going to correct that one. And the whole fucking thing's going to fall apart. You're going to end up needing that SpongeBob wipe many years later. Like, that's...
The one person I think who could have done it is now on the other side working in the industry. She's no longer managing the shop, so it's like...
You know what? Actually, Jamie Noguchi, you know what this comes back to? My plumbing guy. Because my plumbing guy, right?
Yeah.
That guy is the guy that walks around with a rolled up trade and bops these motherfuckers on the nose and goes, hey, knock it off. Like, if I could find someone who sounds like Sam Elliott, who is just willing to wrangle comic book guys together.
Oh my God, that would be great.
But yeah, just like make him fucking ridiculous too. Like make him completely open to progressive change and everything, but insists on walking around with boots with spurs. Like he has to have something weird. Like he carries a bullwhip, but no one knows why.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like we're all waiting for him to like celebratory or angrily fucking crack that thing out. And he just literally, it's always holstered. Like doesn't matter where he is, what's going on. Just literally, like, he goes to some sort of award ceremony. He checks his whip along with his coat. Like, just...
the comics cowboy.
Right, yeah. Like, some sort of ridiculous shit. So this way all the comic book nerds can have someone just fucking bug nutty to rally behind.
Yeah.
Because they need somebody to rally behind.
And fix Diamond and get them to unfuck everything.
Not even fix Diamond, just fight Diamond.
Yeah.
Comic book retailers, you're right, they all feel like they're Batman, and they all feel as though they're being treated unfairly. And God damn it, fucking read your X-Men comics, motherfuckers! Look, if you're being treated unfairly as a whole fucking group, you have to band together and fight those fucking Sentinels. That's how this shit works.
Yeah.
You shit growing up. Take your own fucking advice.
The blueprint is there.
Thank you. God damn it. Don't rely on fucking Stan Lee or Neil Gaiman or whoever the fuck else to try and rally you motherfuckers behind. They're making money. They're actually getting paid. You fucking assholes are the ones who are eating shit. Stop it. Stop treating them like you're fucking heroes and start treating them like your suppliers. You guys are fucking low-level dealers. Watch The Wire. Become Omar. Go after fucking Idris Elba. Like, you have to do this.
You have to be the Omar of comics.
You have to be the fucking Omar of comics. Like, it's just literally like you end up fucking like showing up to some place and they're like,
oh shit,
oh, shit. Phantom's coming, and they're just fucking leaving. Like, it's gotta be something. Yeah. They have to know you by your store name because it's notorious for fighting your shit. Mm-hmm. Turn your fucking readers into your army. They'll follow you into the darkness.
Yeah.
All they want to be is fucking led anyway. All they've been reading are hero stories and hero complexes. They have been reading stories of strong-willed, most likely men who are looking to take charge of a situation and tell everyone else what to do and solve their problems. If you, as a comic book store owner, said, we're banding together, we're creating a Justice League of comic book stores, we're going to fight the Great Diamond, and that's what's going to happen, everyone would be like, fuck yeah. And you're going to have to go, look, there's going to be a lull here where we're not going to order comics and we're going to send a message to Diamond. Here's what's going on. I need you guys to come in. I need you to hang out. I need you to buy snacks or whatever it is and to help keep me going. Because I promise you we're going to get on the other side of this. And you're going to be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's totally cool.
Yeah.
And you literally just start telling them what's going on. And fuck it. You fib a little bit. Well, how come the trades aren't coming in? Diamond's fucking with me, man. I'm sorry. Like, it's how it is. I'm fighting the power.
Uh-huh.
You put signs up. Have people ask questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the people, the customers are going to get pissed, and they're going to yell at Diamond, and they're going to have to change.
Because I guarantee you, no, that's not a guarantee. A lot of people casually walking into a comic book store have no fucking idea how comic books work or who Diamond is.
Yeah.
But if you tell them, yeah, there's one giant conglomerate who decides how we go about ordering everything, and they're strangleholding us, they're raising the price of comics, they're squeezing you, and in turn they're squeezing us, and it's completely unfair.
People
and we're
would be pissed. Customers would be pissed.
You don't like it? We don't like it either. Feel free to sign the petition to go ahead and send it off to Diamond. Feel free. Here's all of Diamond's social media.
Yeah.
Feel free to tag. Feel free to tag us while you're at it.
Yeah.
Let them know where you're coming from. Fucking start a groundswell.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would work.
What do you have to lose? What are you going to stop selling comics? You're not fucking selling the floppies now. All you're doing is eating them and then selling them for fucking dollar issues later on.
Yeah.
And you're taking money out of your own pocket. So what's cheaper, not selling comics for a month to prove a point or not selling comics because you spent too much on fucking comics?
Yeah, because you bought those at half the sticker price. So even at a dollar, you're losing money.
Let me ask the question. I'm curious how many people who run comic book stores have actually looked to see how much they actually make just from trades, toys, and other things that aren't floppies, and then taking a look at that number, and then taking the amount of money that they spend on trades versus their sales, and see whether or not they're actually losing money by just cutting out the fucking trade or cutting out the floppy.
Floppies, yeah. That'd be interesting to see.
Like, I guarantee you, we know two stores who fucking did it.
Yep.
And they're still doing okay from what I can understand.
Yeah.
So if they're still doing okay, there's light at the end of the tunnel, kids. You don't have to be a victim anymore. You just have to stand up and fight against Diamond.
Fight the power. Fight the giant sentinel.
That's what I'm saying. What do we have to do? Paint the fucking Diamond logo orange? Get your life together. Like, fuck it. Fucking, yeah, please. Like, learn what you learn from comics. Fucking fight the power.
Fight the power. See,
Yeah.
I knew this was a good one.
Fucking, yeah. I want you to literally have Chuck D as your fucking chime tone when somebody fucking walks into your comic book store. Like, you
Fight the
open the
power.
door. Right, yeah, and the first thing everybody hears is fight the power. You're like, the fuck is going on in here? And then you start looking around, you're like, where the fuck are all the comics? And some militant motherfucker's behind the counter. That's what you do with your sweaty comic nerd. You leave him behind the counter, and he's literally got like a Diamond logo with a duct tape no sign over top of
Yes,
it. And
yes.
he's like, yeah, that's a good fucking question. Where are the comics? Well, here's what we're gonna do. And like, you fucking band together. Couple stores band together. Here's the other thing I don't understand. Why don't these stores create buying power together by getting together and placing group orders?
I don't know. I don't live in the retail world, so I don't know like why you wouldn't do something like that. Because each store services like a specific area.
Right, but like I'm thinking of like a co-op.
Yeah.
Where you're purchasing large quantities of things and distributing them across multiple stores. Like, I don't know if there's actually a network of comic book store owners across the country who get together and, 20 of them get together and they share a big, like, Google spreadsheet or something like that. And it's like, hey, here's what I have of X things. Here's what I need of X things. And you literally just start basically subtracting out the cost of physical shipping. And you start making up the money because it's better to sell an issue and only make a dollar 50 on it than not sell the issue and make anything.
Yeah, I bet there are a couple of
I mean,
stores
there has to be.
there got to be a couple of at least owners who talk to each other and be like, "Hey, I got a customer looking for this issue. You got any on hand? Yeah, we'll send it to
Right,
send it
but
your way."
again, I go back to the fucking plumbing guy. That's the guy that you get to put all those fucking numbers together. You need to create some sort of database where it's like on hand, need, and then available or whatever it is. And literally, like, you just have guys color coding it or calling dibs or whatever it is or contacting each other. And literally, you've got a big shared Google Doc, and somebody comes in and they go, hey, I'm looking for this issue. I can't seem to find it anywhere. And they go, yeah, hang on a second. Let me see if I can find it at one of the other stores that we partner with. And find it, and they go, hey, so I've got an issue that I can get here in a few days. It's in Scottsdale, Arizona right now. I can have it to you. And they'll say, oh, how much it'll cost? And you'll say, oh, it's the cover price. Why wouldn't someone wait for that? Because then your store has gone out of its way to then patron your business. I like places that are willing to go the extra mile. If you're willing to take the loss on the shipping, then you take a look at what other things are going on, and you just say, hey, it costs me those whatever it is, those USPS, if it fits its ships boxes or whatever it is. You figure out how much one of those is from wherever it is to where you are, and then you make sure that you just find enough to place an order that justifies
Well,
it.
and even if you lose a couple of bucks on getting that issue for that potential customer, that customer is going to be a loyal customer because they know you went out of your way to do that.
And then you get the chance to broach the topic about maybe trades or maybe a long box or something like that, because you're like, hey, you know, why? Knowing that we, you know, we didn't have many of these in stock, because not a whole lot of people read them around here. And they go, oh, yeah, I moved in from out of town. I'm a super big fan of this. And you go, hey, so then I know I can have it for you. Would you want to start a long box subscription? Then you'll know you'll have it every month. I'll just shoot you an email or something like that when it comes in, or you'll just know, hey, on the 20th or whatever it is, your long box, you know, your comic will be here. And some of them, if they're avid readers, would go, yeah, that makes total sense. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. And you're way more likely to come back to the shop who went out of its way to get the thing in for you.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense to me.
And the collective inventory would help out smaller shops, too, because then they don't have to take as many risks on, like, crazy shit. And then, like, the bigger stores that might have that stuff and can't sell it, so then you could swap back and forth that way.
You can figure out what you're doing that way. You can create large sales. You can create one online Amazon store and sell floppies cheap and then distribute out of the different stores.
Oh my God.
It's almost like you need somebody who works at a place who understands what it's like to have inventory in multiple warehouses and handle distribution. Fucking hire someone who doesn't like comics, okay? I'm telling you guys, get out of your own way. Find a guy. He's going to be named George. He's probably going to be an alcoholic. He has time for your shit. He's going to end up basically watching all of the terrible car shows Jamie and I watch, drinking a Schlitz and doing your fucking notes. And it's going to be great. You send this guy a fucking check every so often. He ends up being like, hey, so my nephew's really big into comics. This month, can I just get a gift card? And you're like, yeah, fuck it. You know what? You can get a $150 gift card as opposed to $100 cash or whatever. And he'll be like, that'd be great. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah. And you end up fucking making money on this guy because you end up basically selling everything it costs. Like, it's just – duh. Stop acting like you're on a fucking island. You know what's wrong? You know what's wrong with comics? I think I figured this out. We are nerds. Every one of us is too fucking proud and arrogant to fucking realize that you need to do more than just bitch on social media.
Yeah, you gotta do something about it.
You gotta fucking go out and vote. You gotta go get the guy. You gotta go put this group together. You gotta go start the web store. You gotta realize that a fucking group of people is more powerful than one person.
Stores got to talk to each other so they can, like, fuck with
humans. Yes, yes. Fuck it. Even if you end up being fucking Leonidas in 300, like, fucking have something to fight for and don't do it by yourself. And realize that you're going to end up, like, imagine if they literally, like, they got to the Hell's Gate, there's 300 of them, but they had Twitter. Like, just bunch of fucking shirtless ab-ass selfies like, hey, we're probably going to die, wink, you should come save us.
Yeah.
There'd be fucking people coming out of the woodwork. It wouldn't be 300, it'd be 30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fuck out of here with that shit. Yeah. Fucking Gerard Butler tweeting out fucking underpants selfies and shit like that. Hope I don't die tomorrow. At least I'll die in hell. With you, like,
so Brandon, do you have opinions on the comic retail industry?
I feel bad because I feel like I beat up on them a lot, and on the one hand I do think it's partially their fault because I think they get into this ill prepared and I think they're full of good intentions and not much else.
Yeah.
And well, God love them for that.
The idea of getting someone who I think that's a great idea. The idea of getting someone who is not intimately involved with comics to help run the business. Yeah. I think that's helpful because you need that objectivity to, you know.
Here's the idea, James. Right. That's the thing. You've eaten at a Chick-fil-A, haven't you?
Nope.
No? Never.
Well, I have, but not lately.
Okay. No, I understand. What I'm getting at is they tend to train their staff to be incredibly quick, competent, and polite. I would way more likely hire a kid who is currently working at Chick-fil-A who knows nothing about comics than some of the people I see behind the tables at conventions.
Yeah.
Because that kid is going to be a much better employee. Mm-hmm. Get out of your own way. it doesn't matter how much you know about comics. There's a good chance the person coming in the door knows more than you do.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. And just, yeah, like I feel bad. And yes, I do have opinions about comics. And yes, I'm sure you have opinions about my simplistically breaking down everything. I'm sure you've been cussing at me and you haven't caught some of the other ideas that I've had or whatever it is. Some of you may be like, hey, Brandon, how do I get you to go ahead and help me out with my comic book business? You can go ahead and just and hit me up on at That Guy Chalmers on Instagram. Feel free to hit me up, brandon.chalmers@gmail.com, for all employment inquiries, or if you'd like to tell me to go fuck myself, I'll be sure to trace your IP address, probably relatively close to my home. Gonna take a shot in the dark here. I don't know if this is going to make it a certain direction, but I'll bet it's going to make a certain direction.
I don't know. We don't reach that many people.
That is true.
We get like 20 views a week or something.
You know what, fuck the kids. Do me a favor. This time, like unlike all the others, and I know you don't give a fuck, this time, if you've managed to listen to this at this point, share it. Just a curiosity, just to see. Like, I want to get a cease and desist. I want to get hate mail. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. If I get hate mail, I'll go ahead and I'll snap photos of it and post it up. Yes, I will. I'll line out where it came from, but I will absolutely post it up.
Oh, and we might read it next week.
Oh, we totally should. Please fucking share it. Please. Please, please, please. I don't even care about the readers. I'm sorry to say it. Like I don't care about the listens or anything else. Like, I just want the hate mail. Like, this is what I've been building up for.
It feels like this was a long time coming.
Yeah, I need hate. Do you understand, kids? I need hate mail. That's how this works.
All right. Well, if you want to send hate mail to the show in general,
yeah.
It's info@fuckingdoitcast.com. Brandon already shouted out where you could find him.
Again.
You can find me pretty much, you know, just type my name and shit and stuff. You're watching this. You're listening to this. You got it. You're set. It's all good. And we'll see you next week.
Yep. Yep. Remember, when you call me out, put your name on it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm gonna eviscerate you. Remember that shit. Yep. Bye, kids.
Bye.